Good morning and welcome. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. We see this scripture verse fulfilled in the story of the woman caught in adultery, that God the Son will not condemn this woman, but will offer her a chance to attain salvation and eternal life, if she chooses. So often, when we hear this gospel account about the woman caught in adultery, our tendency may be to ask about the location of the man who had also committed the sin of adultery with this woman. Scripture does not reveal the whereabouts of this man. Maybe he outran the Pharisees and the scribes and avoided being caught. Who knows what really happened to him? In some respects, he is irrelevant to the situation, just like the woman who was caught has become somewhat irrelevant to the story, at least in the beginning of this gospel account. The initial focus of our gospel account isn't necessarily upon the enforcement of Mosaic law, but rather upon the tension that exists between the Pharisees and Jesus. Let's face it. If the Pharisees were so concerned with the enforcement of the law, then they could have stoned the woman the minute they caught her. Instead, they bring this frightened, scared sinner before Jesus to be condemned to death via stoning because of her sin. Why did they choose to do this? It is because the Pharisees and the scribes, well, they're beginning to get seriously annoyed with Jesus. They have been trying desperately to get rid of him. However, all their previous attempts have failed. That is, until now, when they believe that they have finally come up with a plan to get rid of him once and for all. The trap that the Pharisees have set up appears to be a very clever one by all accounts. Surely, this one will be a success for them. Jesus has been spending much of his ministry revealing the Father's love and mercy for the people. If Jesus shows mercy to this woman and speaks out against stoning her, then he will be standing in opposition to the law and to Moses, which the Pharisees could then use to persuade the people to turn on Jesus and to stop following him. On the other hand, if Jesus were to consent to stoning this woman, well then, he will be accused of violating the law of the Romans who governed over the area. It is generally accepted that at that time, the Roman authority had a law that forbade the Jewish people from enforcing the death penalty. Enforcement of the death penalty was reserved only for the Romans. Therefore, if Jesus were to order the death penalty for this woman via stoning, then the Pharisees could inform the Roman authorities, who would in turn take care of removing Jesus for them. Either way, this test, or rather this trap, that the Pharisees have set for Jesus seems to be a win-win situation for them, regardless of which option Jesus chooses. That is, until our Lord turns the tables on them. By bending down to scribble something on the ground, then stating to those in attendance, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." By his actions and words, Jesus neither violates the law given by Moses nor the law of the Romans. At this point, things begin to get a little interesting as well as somewhat mysterious. For starters, Jesus bends down a second time to continue writing on the ground, while the Pharisees and scribes, starting with their elders, they begin to walk away. From both the woman, a sinner, and from Jesus, our Redeemer. No one knows for certain what Jesus had written on the ground. But it was something that in accompaniment with Jesus' words caused the accusers to walk away. There does exist some theories about what exactly it was that Jesus was writing. One theory, according to St. Jerome, and supported by other theologians, is that Jesus began to write down the sins of the accusers upon the ground. Nonetheless, what Jesus had written that day remains somewhat of a mystery to us. When the Pharisees and scribes had left, only two people remained, a sinner and Jesus. Surprisingly, the sinner, she could have chosen to run away, since Jesus was still bent down looking at the ground. Instead, she chose to remain in the presence of God. Jesus looks into her eyes and asks, "Has no one condemned you?" She responds, "No one, sir." St. Augustine teaches that when the woman replied, "No one," this was her way of confessing her sins to Jesus, who in turn forgives her by declaring, "Neither do I condemn you." Then he encourages the woman to go, and from now on, do not sin anymore. The woman was forgiven of her sin and given a choice. She can return to her old ways of life, which will result in her death and destruction, or she can choose to not sin anymore and to remain in God's presence, which will result in life eternal with God. The choice offered to this woman is also offered to us as well, for we are all sinners. The challenge sometimes is that we may struggle to see ourselves as standing in a place of this woman before Jesus. After all, this woman committed adultery, or so it seems. And therefore, we may distance ourselves from the events proclaimed in the gospel and struggle to apply the lessons of Scripture to our own lives. Notice I said, it seems that the woman committed adultery. I'm not denying what we have heard with the respects to this woman having committed adultery. But what if there is a deeper meaning hidden within our gospel account? The Pharisees, they speak of the law as handed down by Moses, which reminds me, during the days of Moses, adultery went hand in hand with the sin of idolatry, the sin of chasing after something other than the one true God, of believing and worshiping in a false god. We hear this constantly repeated throughout the Old Testament. When we hear of Israel being compared to an adulteress who has turned away from God to pursue the false gods of other nations. Is this why the man in our account is missing? Could this mysterious man in reality have been a false god that this woman was chasing after? If so, then how ironic that the Pharisees would unknowingly take this woman away from worshiping a false god to actually standing before the one true God. God did not send a son to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him, to be reconciled with the Father through the Son from the sins that we have committed. Sins that we allow to come between us and God, that in our weakened state we may choose to chase after, like an adulterer who chooses to chase after a false spouse instead of remaining faithful to his one and only. What are the false gods of our lives that we choose over our Lord and Savior? Is it the false gods of power, greed, pride? Or maybe it is a countless number of other false gods disguised as sin within our lives. In the end, no matter how it happens, we will eventually find ourselves standing before Jesus. Will we have the courage, like the adulterous woman, to ask for forgiveness of our sins? And with the help of the Holy Spirit, to live in accordance to the words of our Lord and Savior, so that we may attain eternal life with our one true God? Or will we choose a different path? A path that can only lead us to death and destruction.